It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and verse number 13, the scripture reads, "Thou shalt not kill." Thou shalt not kill. This is the sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments, written briefly in Exodus 20, verse 13, "Thou shalt not kill." This is the commandment and the law against murder, the commandment against the shedding of innocent blood. Let's look at point number one. This particular commandment protects the sanctity of life. Not only is this particular commandment a law against the murder or a law against the shedding of innocent blood, this particular commandment protects the sanctity of life. This particular commandment has a dual role attached to it in terms of definition. Not only is it the law against murder, it's also the law that protects life. This particular commandment allows individuals to protect themselves, to have a sense of self-defense in their home, lethal self-defense in their home, that their home may be a sanctuary, that their home may be a safe haven. Thou shalt not murder protects the shedding of innocent blood. It gives a person the right to protect themselves, to protect their own life, to protect the lives of others that may be threatened. Also, this particular commandment speaks to protecting the military or the police officer in the performance of their duties. It's a law against the murder, but also a law that protects life. This particular commandment has a death penalty attached to it in order to preserve the sanctity of life. The Bible says in the book of Exodus, chapter 21, verse 12, "He that smiteth a man, so he that shall die, shall surely be put to death." This is the death penalty attached to this particular commandment. The Bible says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man's shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." This particular commandment protects the sanctity of life, for man was created in the image of God. Man has a God sense, if you will, more than plants and more than animals. Man is able to have a relationship with God. He's able to walk with him and talk with him. God is the one that confers life, and only God can take it away. When an individual commits murder, when an individual sheds innocent blood, this individual is taking upon themselves to cut off the relationship between God and man, between the Creator and his created being, man, who was made in the image and likeness of God, for an opportunity to have a relationship with God. When an individual commits murder, he is cutting off the relationship between God and man. Proverbs is saying, "A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Let no man give him a stay of execution." In other words, there is a death penalty attached to this particular commandment in terms of the shedding of innocent blood. It speaks to God's justice. It speaks to life for life. It protects innocent life. It protects the sanctity of life. This particular commandment shows that there is a death penalty attached to this commandment, which protects the sanctity of life, which is a deterrent also to committing capital crimes and allows for God's justice. There's also a sense of sowing and reaping that takes place when an individual commits murder. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. This speaks not only to physical death, if those sins be a sin unto death, but also spiritual death. A person committing these particular sins is cut off from fellowship with God and need to repent and give their life back to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. The Bible says, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Individuals that commit this particular sin cut off themselves from fellowship with God. They cut themselves off, and they are in danger of not inheriting the kingdom of God unless they repent. Point number two, this particular commandment also gives examples of how murder can be other than the shedding of blood. In other words, there's other type of examples of committing murder. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17 speaks of things that God particularly hates, one of them being hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. For an example, there's nothing more innocent than a baby in the womb. This is your abortion scripture. This is a scripture that teaches that abortion is murder. For this womb is supposed to be the safest place on the planet. The safest place for a baby to be nurtured and to grow and to be a part of life on earth. But instead, in these last days, with an average of 5,000 abortions per day in the United States of America, the womb has become a tomb. And abortion, even though it is legal, it is not right in God's eyesight. And as a nation, as Christians, we ought to exercise our voting power, exercise our right and freedom to vote, to choose elected officials who uphold the sanctity of life and to ensure that the womb is a safe place for the baby. An individual can commit murder by committing abortion. Also, a person can commit murder with their tongue. Yes, a person can commit murder with their tongue. The Bible says the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Individuals that backbite, individuals that slander, individuals that backstab others, speak ill of others, and defame others. Individuals that do this cause individuals to be murdered with their own tongue. It causes individuals to say, I've heard about what you've done, or I've heard something about you, or this was said about you, and because of what somebody has heard about someone, or because of a soundbite, or because of a recollection, or because someone has heard something from someone else, they form an opinion about that person and that person's reputation. That person's reputation is now murdered, and that individual is no longer given the opportunity to make their own first impression. This is how friendships are destroyed without that person speaking for themselves because of what they heard about this person. This is how marriages are wounded and hurt because of what somebody heard about this person. This person's reputation has been marred, has been hurt. Individuals have murdered others with their tongue, not so much with their hands, not the shedding of blood, but reputations are destroyed, friendships are destroyed, marriages are destroyed. Individuals never get the opportunity to make their own first impression. And this is why we are not to judge others, especially those who, in this context, have committed murder. Maybe on death row in today's prisons, we ought to ask the questions to ourselves, have we murdered somebody with our tongue? Even though we may have murdered somebody or shed blood like someone on death row, have we destroyed a friendship? Have we destroyed a marriage? Have we destroyed a reputation with our own tongue? This is why we should not judge others. The Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged. With the same judgment you judge, it shall be meted out back to you. We need to ask ourselves the question, are we guilty of abortion? We should not judge the individual on death row for murder. Maybe our hands are full of innocent blood. Point number three, this particular commandment also has a progression to it. It also has a progression to it. First of all, in Genesis chapter 4, we see that the first murder in the scriptures between Abel and Cain was based on religion, based on jealousy. It was not the outward act that Cain slew Abel. There was something behind it. There was the jealousy of Cain towards his brother Abel because Abel's offering was accepted, Cain's was rejected, and it was the jealousy that Cain had towards his brother Abel. We see that also in the book of 2 Samuel, that it first generated with lust, how David desired Bathsheba so much, Bathsheba being the wife of Uriah the Hittite, that he was blinded by his adultery and his sin, and it led to murder. We also see that the scriptures teach, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, because hate is at the root in the heart behind the murder. We also see the scriptures teach that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Why? Because anger is also at the root behind particular murders. The scriptures teach in Mark chapter 7, Matthew chapter 15, that from the heart, out of the heart, proceed murders. It all comes from an heart. So we need to watch ourselves and pray and continue to have a tender heart, because our jealousy can lead to murdering with our tongue. Anger can lead to murdering with our tongue. Hatred can lead to murder, slander, backbiting, and backstabbing with our tongue. So much so that when we see an individual, we have resentments. We have a certain feeling at the pit of our stomach when we see them blessed, or we desire to have ill will toward them. We desire to have them feel the same hurt that we felt. This kind of anger, this kind of hate is at the root cause that generates murder later in our life, first with our tongue and possibly with our own hands. For with our sinful nature, we are capable of anything. The old saying is true, if not for the grace of God, go I. We could be in that same predicament as that person on death row, if not for the grace of God. And that's why the scriptures teach to be as little children, to be open and soft and pliable and teachable, and always have a tender, forgiving heart, to search our heart, to know that we are in right standing with God, and we're not harboring any root of bitterness or anger or hatred or jealousy that may lead to murder. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me down to life everlasting. Psalm 139. Point number four, there's also wonderful encouragement in the scriptures on this particular commandment. There's examples of how individuals got a second, third, and fourth chance. The opportunity for God to show forgiveness and mercy, kindness, and grace towards individual in the scriptures who are guilty of murder. For example, David, guilty of murder in the book of 2 Samuel, as he tried to kill Uriah the Hittite, Uriah the husband of Bathsheba. For David had an affair with Bathsheba and got her pregnant, and he tried to cover up the sin by giving. He tried to cover up the sin by getting Uriah the Hittite drunk, that he may sleep with Bathsheba, to cover up the infidelity, to cover up the adulterous affair. And when this did not work, he gave Uriah the Hittite a letter, a command, through his general, to send Uriah to the forefront of the hottest battle, and then retire from him. This was a murder note, and murder was in the heart of David. Yet God forgave David, as it is written in Psalm 51, and David became the sweet psalmist of Israel. David, a man after God's own heart, the scriptures teach, because he repented, and God bestowed upon him mercy and grace, and used him to write the majority of the book of Psalms, and to lead the children of Israel as king. We also see another example of how God's grace and mercy was evident to individuals with this particular violation of sin. Moses, the lawgiver, Moses, the individual who told Pharaoh to let my people go before Pharaoh got his commission to talk to Pharaoh. Back in Exodus chapter 2, Moses committed murder trying to free the children of Israel with his own outstretched strength and arm, and he buried the Egyptian in the sand to cover up the murder, yet God used him mightily afterwards. Why? Because Moses was forgiven, God showed mercy and grace and kindness. God's grace is amazing. The Bible says, when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It's not enough for us to try and figure out the grace of God or the love of God. It's up to us just to receive it and bask in it and enjoy it and to apply it in our lives for ourselves and for our loved ones and our circle of influence. Also, Peter attempted to kill Malchus. We can read that in Luke chapter, we can read that in the book of Luke and the book of John, when the Romans came to abduct Jesus. When they came to arrest Jesus, Peter pulled out his sword and attempted to decapitate Malchus, but instead just chopped off his ear. Jesus Christ then healed the ear of Malchus. Peter was forgiven, filled with the Holy Spirit, and became and went on to be a great man of God, to be used by God. God also used a young man named Paul. Paul was a Christian killer. He was given authority by the chief priests to take Christians into custody and to torment them, to cause them to denounce and renounce their faith in Christ. He imprisoned Christians. The Bible says he murdered beyond measure, lost count of the Christians he persecuted. Yet God in his mercy and God in his grace saved him on the road to Damascus. One of the great authors in the scriptures, used by the Holy Spirit to author 14 epistles of the Bible. So we see here that God is a merciful God. God is a kind God and a loving God. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. It's a law against the shedding of innocent blood. It's also, as we learned in point number one, a law that protects life. It's a law that protects life. It allows you to protect yourself in self-defense. It allows individuals to be safe in their own home. It allows individuals serving in our military, police force, in the armed forces, to fight just wars and protect themselves against the enemy. We also learn that this particular commandment has a death penalty attached to it. For the scriptures teach, he that smiteth a man so that he die, surely he shall be put to death. This particular commandment has a death penalty attached to it as a deterrent to protect the sanctity of life. So life can be above death, and the consequences of shedding life can be death. For the scriptures teach, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man's shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God he made man. We learn that from Acts 25, verse 10 and 11, and Romans chapter 13. Death penalty in the scriptures. Man was made in the image of God. He has a God sense, the opportunity to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And when man sheds innocent blood, he takes upon himself to cut off that relationship with his Creator. He takes it upon himself to cut off the relationship between God and his creation. And as a result, there is a penalty, a death penalty attached. There's also the wages of sin is death, a spiritual cutoff between fellowship between that person and the Lord. The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible says, a man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. There is no stay of execution in God's court for individuals that murder. We also learn in point number two, there are examples of murder outside of shedding innocent blood. And that is the abortion in the womb. Proverbs 6 verse 17 says, hands that shed innocent blood is what God hates. Nothing should be more innocent and more safe than the baby in the womb. This particular scripture protects that particular baby. And we as Christians, we as individuals who value life, should elect and vote for leaders who protect the sanctity of life, that baby may be safe and secure in the womb. We also learned another example of murder is the murdering with our tongue. The scriptures teach the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. We may not shed blood with our hands, but we may defame or backbite, slander, castigate, vilify someone with our tongue. We may destroy a friendship in the third person by speaking about someone out of their own presence. That individual may hear about something. We may talk about something in their life, just a snapshot or a vignette about that person, and that person's reputation is destroyed. They never get the opportunity to speak for themselves. And we end up destroying friendships. We end up destroying relationships. We end up destroying marriages. The Bible says, a whisper separateth chief friends. So individuals that go about backbiting and backstabbing destroy relationships, even the best of friends. Point number three, finally we learn that this particular commandment has a progression to it. A progression based on a slippery slope that turns into a cliff itself. Cain and Abel, the murder took place not just by the act of murder, but religion was at the very context of it. Cain being jealous of Abel's offering because Abel's outward religion bear witness to the inward heart of his faith. And Cain was jealous of the pureness of Abel's religion. His offering was accepted. Cain was rejected. The Bible says also in 2 Samuel, the Bible also talks about jealousy being at the root of this progression as David slew. The Bible also talks about hatred being at the root of this particular sin of murder as David tried to. The Bible also talks about adultery and lust being at the root of this particular sin. For David had a baby out of wedlock with Bathsheba, and he tried to cover up the pregnancy by getting the husband drunk. When that did not work, he sent Uriah to the hottest point of the battle as a death appointment to Uriah. So we see that lust of the flesh, adultery, was bubbling underneath and caused David to commit murder. Hate is an element underneath the action of murder. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Anger can be at the root of murder. The scriptures teach, out of the heart proceed murders. It all comes from murders. That word murder in the book of Mark is plural, speaking of many different ways we murder. And finally, in point number four, the Bible gives examples of God's mercy and grace by giving individuals another chance. David was a murderer, and God gave him another chance as he cleansed him and forgave him, as evident in Psalm 51, as David became the sweet psalmist of Israel, a man after God's own heart. Moses was given another chance as Moses in Exodus chapter 2 killed the Egyptian trying to free his people from bondage. In chapter 3, God gave him a commission to do it God's way, and God empowered him and used him to say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And God got the glory out of it and not Moses. Peter attempted murder with Malchus as he tried to chop off the head of Malchus as the Romans came to abduct and arrest Jesus. Peter chopped off the ear of Malchus in the Bible, and Jesus healed the ear, restored Peter, filled him with the Holy Spirit later, and used him as a great apostle that brought thousands to Christ with his Holy Spirit-filled sermons. Finally, Paul, the chief of the sinners, the murderer of all murderers, the Christian persecutor, was changed on the road to Damascus, and God used him to be the greatest missionary of all time, leading thousands upon thousands upon thousands to Christ. God used him to write 14 epistles of the New Testament. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray after me? Repeat after me, "Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen."
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.